Good morning, Calvary Church family, to those who are here, and especially also to those who are online who can't be here with us today. We're grateful that you tuned in, and are with us in spirit today, and pray that you're feeling the same power that we are feeling in this house today. Amen. Well, today we are back in our series of James, and we're now going to start the final stretch. We're in the home stretch. So over the next month, we will be closing out the book of James, and I've just been loving this. And this is where today's message, doing your own thing. How well does that play with what we were singing this morning? Because it's, Lord, do whatever you want to. But there's a part in James, as we get to James today, as we're finishing out chapter 4, James is giving us another challenge to wake up, to quit doing your own thing, and to make sure you're doing God's thing. So that's why I'm just telling you, God's got something to say to us. And as we've gone throughout the book of James, and we've watched James help instruct us through a series of tests, of ways to test our faith, to see, do we have a maturing faith? Do we have a growing faith? Do we have a faith that can withstand trials? Do we have a faith that can withstand temptations within the midst of those trials? Challenging us, are we going to have a pure religion that even looks after the disenfranchised, the orphans and the widows? Are we going to have the ability to bridle our tongue, to be careful of what we would say? And James talked about that in chapter 1. He talked about it again in chapter 3. And even just not too long, a little over a month ago, before we jumped into our elephant and donkey series, James was even talking about how we slander. James is asking, are we putting our faith into action? Are we being doers or just hearers only? Well, as we're getting into chapter 4, I want to begin, before we really look at our text in James this morning, I want to remind you of something that is really important, and that is God has a plan for every single person in this room. He's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. God, at the very moment of conception, God willed your life, and he had a plan for your life. We talked about it a little bit last week, and I just felt like I had to bring it back in here before we jumped into James. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, God says to the prophet of Jeremiah, as he's getting ready to start his life work in his ministry, that it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard, and God reminds him of some things that are very important that we also need to remember. Look at verses 4 and 5. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet of the nation. See, that's amazing. It's amazing, and it's just not true for Jeremiah, but it's true for every person in this room, every person that's watching online. It's true to every person in the earth that before you were born, before you were conceived, God knew you. He knew you. He loves you. He loves every aspect about you. He loves you. He's not turned off by the bad stuff that we look at and that we would be afraid to look at in the mirror. God loves you. He cares for you. Psalms continues to repeat this. In fact, actually, further on in Jeremiah 29:11, many of it's probably your favorite verses. One of your favorite verses in the Bible, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God has a future for you, and it's not of disaster. So if you're struggling today, maybe you needed this reminder that God's got a future for you, and it's not dictated by what you're feeling today. It's not by your current crisis or chaos. God's got a plan for you, and just know it's good. But then you go into Psalms, Psalm 139, verse 16. You saw before I was born, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Isn't that amazing? So even our missteps, you just need to know God saw, and he wasn't going to give up on you. Because here's the great thing. When we live our life fully letting him do what he ought to do, what we let him do, when we do that, when we live in that way, we get to watch God display his power and his presence in our life. Just settle that into your heart today, that God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. We can even begin to look at every single moment God has. So just know, don't buy the lies that you tell yourself that you're just an accident. We are not an accident. There's a sovereign God who's in charge of your life. He rules over everything. He rules over the kingdoms of men. So know this, whoever wins on Tuesday, there is still a God over the winner. So God is sovereign even despite whoever and wherever you land, an elephant or a donkey, all right, or an independent. Just know our God's in control. And if we look to him, he will write his purpose on our life. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. So you need to know, you know what? Even as you're in here today, some points, is this really real? Guess what? The work that God is doing in your life is not, and the enemy would love to try to tell you, this isn't real. This is fake. It's just kind of wishful, good thinking. The world would love to tell you that. But we know that when we are in faith, giving our heart and life to him, God gives us a gift. And it's not the results of works so that any one of us could boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand for that we should walk in them. So before we were born, before time began, the God of creation, along with his purpose, he brought his purposes to pass. And that brings us all with that backdrop to James chapter 4 today. And it's good for us to be reminded that James is writing to a group of, he's not writing to a group of unbelievers, he's writing to believers. He's writing through believers who had been going, who'd been dispersed, they're going through trials, they're being persecuted, so they've lost their homes. And in the spite of some of the darkest days that they could be facing, James is reminding them of the reality that our God is sovereign, that our God is in charge, and that our God has a plan. Just always know God's got his hand on the wheel of your life if you allow him to. And he will steer you through whatever tension or crisis that you will ever find yourself in. So as we look at scripture today, we're looking at the last part of James chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 17. And what I want to do is I want to combine our thoughts basically into three areas. First of all, here's the first thought. Foolishness of planning without the Lord. So if we try to do anything that is apart from what God's plan and purpose is in our life, it's foolish. Because God's got a plan for us that he wants to write. And James is trying to help remind us that we need to be looking to the Lord. We need to be listening to the Lord. We need to be asking the Lord, seeking the Lord. Because without that, it's absolutely foolish to try to live our life any other way. Any other way than what we just sang earlier. That's why I'm just telling you, the songs we sang today, it's no accident. There are some people here and online, you need to be hearing this today. James chapter, let's look at verse 13 of chapter 4. And it starts right out. Come now. In fact, that word come now, James is saying, in other words, it's like, come on, is how he's meaning this. It's like, come on, it's listen up. Like if you could be clapping to get your attention. He's saying, come on, come now. And he'll do this same phrase again at the start, which we'll see next week on James chapter 5, verse 1. The same part. He starts now with, come now. And this is where this could be lost when you reread our scriptures, because we almost like when you go to chapter breaks, it's like turning a page. It's turning a chapter. And yet James is completing two thoughts here. And sometimes we will miss some of the depth of the sequence. And so when this letter was written, it wasn't written with chapter breaks. That came centuries later. So this is one letter, and James is trying to make sure that we don't miss the point here, that the idea that you've reasoned out the planning of your life. Like, you might have your plan all laid out, because James goes on, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. See, we could so easily, well, you know how your week's going to go already, right? We may have our week scheduled out. Hey, tomorrow we have a staff meeting. Tomorrow, Tuesday, we've got a prayer meeting. You could have your whole week scheduled out. I got to go vote Tuesday, right? If you haven't already. We could have our whole week scheduled out, and yet we're missing something if we're not letting God direct our steps. If we're not letting God, his leadership, overreign our philosophy. Our reasoned out approach for this week, God, I need your agenda. See, James is writing this to believers, and we would expect a lot of non-believers to do their own thing, but he's also trying to address, really, the Christian believer who are doing their own thing. And James is reminding the believers that God has a plan for your life. And over the years, I've been amazed at the number of believers, and it's been real interesting, watching a number of believers that would take a job promotion, that literally would move their family, because they sized up the job, it meets my skills, it meets my passions, and you know what? It's a step up in pay. I see all the benefits, so they move their family, but they not once. And it's fascinating. I remember, Aaron, I can remember people in our church in Racine, and I would ask them, hey, that's awesome. I'm excited for you. So how's God leading you in this? And I'd get a blank stare back. Because they'd done all the pros and cons, they've done all this, and that they had not consulted God. God, is this the move that we should be making as a family? See, I would be all thumbs up, high fives, if they can go, yes, look at this. It's a bump up in pay, benefits, checking all the boxes. But if you had not consulted God, you've put yourself into an amazingly foolish position. Look at verse 14. Yet do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. I mean, a person's a fool to think that we can plan out our future completely and without any thought of God's plan. Because listen to what our writer of Proverbs says. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Like, if you think you've got the next week, months, and you've got it all completely figured out, you're foolish. Because you never know what one incident, one circumstance, because if you're doing this all in your strength, guess what? When the house of cards start to fall apart, what are you really left with? What are you holding on to? I mean, we don't know what the day holds. Many of us know, we think we know what holds this afternoon. Is it Packers or Lions? Some of you think you know, or we're hoping we know. Guess what? Somebody's going to be disillusioned later tonight. And we don't know. So when we start to base ourselves on our philosophies, our things, we're missing and putting ourselves in an incredible foolish spot. But look back in verse 14, because what is your life? Verse 14, yet do you not know what tomorrow will bring? What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. In one sense, our life is a mist. We're like a breath on a frosty morning. Haven't had too many of those yet. I mean, some, but not complaining. Not super in the 20s. We haven't had that killer yet. But remember one day, and it's amazing how quickly it vanishes. Like, I look back at life, and I just sit there and think, we'll be here in a couple weeks, we'll go see our oldest son, Grant, 29 years old. He's 29, and yet I can go back to the moments when he was born, and he was in ICU, and we couldn't hold him, but you just wanted to. And honestly, it doesn't feel like 29 years ago. I mean, it doesn't feel like 10 years ago he graduated high school. I mean, goodness, I can't even believe it's been 9 years since Garrett was playing his last high school football season. And it's moments that are here but are quickly gone. And I can't help but think back to August. And I'm not thinking of my mom's passing, but I am thinking of Iris. Because the farthest thing from his mind going through a construction zone was, hey, I'm ready to meet my Lord. Like, that's happening right now. I mean, he's sitting there thinking, okay, I got to get to the next town, this next couple trips. I mean, he's starting to think, he's dreaming of some of his trips and getting excited. He's probably relishing just having visited his family. You never know what a day will bring. Life is fragile. And it's something I just want to make sure. It's not something that we have to fear. But I am saying, and James is saying, that a person would be a fool to think that we can just plan out our life without consulting God. Well, this leads to a second thought. Flexibility is required to walk with the Lord. Look at verse 15. Because the idea here is not that it's wrong to plan, but in making our plans, there has to be a sensitivity to the Lord. There has to be a seeking of him. There has to be a submitting to the Lord, a willingness to acknowledge that even when we've sought him, that we stay in that sensitivity to him and submit your life. Look at verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we live and do this or that. And so what I'm not saying is that in everything that we do, that we have to say, okay, if the Lord wills. So, like, if you're making lunch plans and you're going, hey, I'll see you at La Cabana or Perkins or wherever your favorite place is, see you at hometown. If the Lord wills, see you in 10 minutes. I mean, that's not. But what I am saying is there's an attitude that should be with our words. And there maybe this is more about our attitude and our hearts need to be contingent on seeking our God. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. See, you and I are not sovereign. We might have a plan. We might have an idea. We may even have, you may have been weighing some things out before the Lord, but I just want to encourage you to be very carefully, to just let those, live life loose-handedly. That you live before God with some freedom to allow God to navigate your life. I mean, next week, Pastor Stacy and I will celebrate 36 years together. Now, if you would tell me 36 years ago where God would take us all, I mean, I'm just telling you, Springfield, Missouri was going to be one of the last ideas on my heart. In the sense, I just never would have thought, not a desire to go to the national office. See, people would look at it on an earthly level, oh, wow, they're a national office. But I enjoyed it. There's bureaucracy there, though. You're so many steps removed from what's happening in the local church. Honestly, that's the part, as Pastor Stacy and I prayed, that was the part that even excited us in a huge way, is that we're at the foundation of serving God's church. in the proximity, people's lives, doing life together. There's nothing better. But I never would have thought Springfield, Missouri. In fact, some of the points when I was doing Youth Alive in Wisconsin, Northern Michigan, so many different times I'd have meetings in Springfield. Without a doubt, I could actually count on my hand the times it didn't happen, that when I'm driving into town, I don't see a car up on blocks with no tires, right on the side of the highway. It was like every single time, it was like a welcome sign to me, going, this old town, I do not want to live here. And yet, God took us there. And as God directed our path, I can still remember when we were away and leaving Waupaca or not. I mean, one of the waits was, because of our boys being young, was, are we moving God away from who God had planned for them to meet? Or are we moving them to meet, perhaps, their future? I mean, some of this, how does that impact that? You can't foresee everything, right? Even though you're trying. And you just take that step of what God tells you to do. See, one of the great parts is there's just a joy. Because I can say for our youngest son, guess what? He did meet his bride. God did have a purpose for both of our kids to do his work in their life, that even Springfield became a joy. And the people that we met got to do life with, and even in the building, who we got to do and work with, just a joy to look back on. And that's one of those parts that when we allow a flexibility in our plans, God will take even some situations that you might be dreading, and God will make it into such an incredible garden that we could look back to. See, and there'll be such a joy, not to say that there won't be problems, but to say that there's a joy, there's a grace for the journey, there's a power to overcome it, and you're going to find such a great strength that as you stand and walk with God and let him direct your paths. Psalm 37, verses 23 through 24, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by their hand. That's great news today. Know that you have a God that will direct your steps when you let him do whatever he wants to do. He will direct your steps, and it capture that word. He delights in every detail. So even in the toughest of situations that you will face, just know that God is going to work a delight in that detail. To the details that some points he will be thinking of dotting the I and crossing the T's on things that we don't even see at this current moment, because he loves you so much. Thirdly, third thought, doing your own thing. If you're doing that, there's a failure, thirdly, not taking this issue seriously. And this is where James concludes this thought, verses 16 through 17. Notice it in those two verses. Otherwise, you're boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. I mean, James is just smacking straight truth, all right? Remember, verse 17, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. So when God is speaking to you, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. So the idea here is self-willed, selfish pride, selfish ambition. That's the stuff that, you know what, God's not going to bless. And he's wanting to help us to realize that it's what he wants in your life. Let's relook at verse 16. Otherwise, you are boasting about your pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Because this type of boasting that we've got it figured out, this type of boasting is really all about a very prideful self-reliance, that I can do it. I don't need God. See, there's parts when trials and temptations come, there is parts that God has a purpose to it so that we would lean in and trust him. And that's all by faith. There's nothing that we could bring to the situation. It's not your bank account. It's not your family heritage. It's nothing But if you place your faith and trust in him to lead you, to guide you, there is more than power to spare. Let's dive into verse 17. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. So what's the right thing to do? The right thing is to say, Lord, you've created me with a purpose. God, you have a plan for my life. God, you control my life. God, you control my happiness. You control my joy. It'll be found best when I am found in you. Whatever it is that you want to do with my life, whatever you want to do in and through, lead me. God, that's what I'm about. It's not my will, but it's your will be done. See, that's the right thing to do. Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, it's sin. Strong words. Strong words that we need to be challenged with. So to wrap up this message this morning, worship team, if you would come back, I want to apply these thoughts and this message today to three different groups of people here today and watching online. First, there's some of you who you're missing something that really becomes everything to your life after salvation, and that is the sense and the fact that God has a purpose for your life. There's some here that you might not feel like God has a purpose for you. In fact, you might even be feeling that you have no value. And God wants you to know you have value. You are created with a purpose. See, if I was sitting down across the table from you having a cup of coffee and I would ask you the question, what's the purpose of your life? What would be your answer? Have you thought about it? To realize that God has a purpose for your creation. He has a purpose for your life. You are created with an intent in mind. And some of you have given no thought of it at all, that God has a plan for you. You thought it was enough just to go to work, make money, show up in life, save enough that you can have a home, to do what you want, doing your own thing. Use your leisure time like you want, live the way you want. Guess what? That's most of the people in our community. You toss in a little church a few times, and James is letting us be reminded that there is so much more that God wants to do in your life. Second, there are some of you in a situation where you're making a decision and you're getting ready to pull the trigger on it. I mean, you've gone through all the pros and cons. You're looking at this piece of paper, and you've got the pros, you've got the cons, you've outweighed it, and you've kind of got a direction you're going. Have you sought God's direction? Be very, very careful, because if God wills, if the Lord wills, you'll live. And if the Lord wills, you'll accomplish. Just know, if the Lord wills, he will make it happen. There must be a willingness on our part to have a flexibility and a sensitivity to the Lord. And third, there's some of you here this morning and you're new to this whole thing. And you're kind of like, wow, this is different. I'm kind of used to maybe a little bit more formal worship and a little former setting, you know? Maybe you're not used to having the preacher wearing a sweatshirt. Maybe it's a robe or something, I don't know. Suit and tie. One day, Pastor Curl, one day. One day. I love you. Let me just say this to you. There is a God that loves you. And he wants you to know what you're struggling with today. He cares. And he's brought you to this place today to be reminded that he has a plan for you. And it starts with you giving your heart and your life to him. For some of you, it's rededicating your life to him. Because God's got an amazing plan for you. Here's a key thing that you need to understand to go through life. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. This is not on a slide. But here's the deal. It's impossible to know the unrevealed will of God until you focus on the revealed will of God. If you focused on what God has revealed to you and you hang into that, letting him direct, guess what? He's going to start revealing the whole rest of the unrevealed part that you're looking for today. Trust him. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 10 says this, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done will be exposed. Man, when we come to a repentance, it's the beginning of knowing the will of God in your life. And it's a direction that you can't even fully imagine. But know this, God has a purpose for your life. If he wills, we'll accomplish. If he wills, we'll live. And it's not just survival, it's thriving. Over the past couple months, I've had several people share with me dreams and visions that God has given them for our church. They're like waking them up in the middle of the night. And this, then it goes to even other additional just words of knowledge that as they've been praying for Calvary Church, and I've just been meditating on them. In fact, some of that was actually the seedbed. Why I shifted to park James and do our Donkeys, Elephants, and Jesus series. And some of those visions were of people, just as James is saying today when he opened up, come on. Don't keep living your life doing your own thing. To allow God to direct your life. Even this morning, Isaac texted me this. So I'm gonna share it. My children, my beloved, why do you fear? What consumes your thinking? Have I not conquered everything? I am the King of Kings. I am the great I am. I am Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi. I am your God. You walk in fear because of how you think. You were made for me. I have created you to glorify me, not to survive or just get by. I have created you to live. I have not created you to live a mediocre life. You have a purpose in me. Your mindset is broken. The way you think does not glorify me. You are a child of Christ, a child of the King. You have been born again into royalty. Act like it. The time is running out. You can only play around for so long. I'm waiting. I'm here. If you will lay down your pride and come to me, I will pour out my oil into your cup. If you keep asking, I'll keep pouring. I'm placing a burden on your heart to seek me. Let that burden consume you. That is where you will find freedom from fear, for my love for you is perfect. Come make a covenant with me. God has wonderful plans for us as we surrender our lives and live God's way and quit doing our own thing. Think God had a word for us today? Heavenly Father, a passage like this is exciting and sobering at the same time. That you have a will for us, you've created us with a purpose, and yet God, at the same time, there's a frailty to life. Life is fragile. God, there's an uncertainty to it. And God, our prayer is that you would help us, first of all, as believers, to understand the purpose and the plans that you have for our life. You've created us for a purpose. God, we pray that we would submit our lives to you, to have your way, to have your will. God, may you speak to every single person. Lord, I pray that we as believers not be like that person that James mentions. God, help us to be on guard, to come on now and trust you with a sensitivity and a trust. And Lord, for those that are here today that, Father, need a relationship with you, God, they know that you are not the number one thing in their life. You're not leading and guiding. Lord, may people find strength as they turn to you in repentance today to say, I turn my life to you. Speak to us today, we pray. With every head bowed, I have to ask this question. If you're here today and you need to rededicate your life to him, just know our God is standing with arms wide open to walk life with you. And if maybe for the first time ever, you need to invite him in to be your Lord and Savior, or maybe you need to rededicate it, your life, your will, your plans to him. If that's you, I just want you to look up at me. If either way, we need to pray together. Thank you. Are there others? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. I want everyone to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me, even when I'm doing my own thing. Forgive me. I turn my heart and my life to you. Be my leader and my Savior. Do a new work in my life. Forgive me of my sin, but do a new work in me as leading my life and being my Savior. I give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, heaven's rejoicing. And I purposely wanted, if you would stand with me this morning, if you prayed that prayer, I encourage you before you leave, see myself, Pastor Aaron, Pastor Stacy. We have a booklet we would love to give you, especially if it's the first time that you made that decision. We just want to help you take the next steps. Now what? Now how do I take those next steps to keep following in this relationship? And just know our hearts, we're excited. But for all of us, I wanted to make sure that we had time, and especially with what God's been speaking throughout this whole service, that we just have time just to worship him. Can we just reframe in the next 5-6 minutes to say, God, it's your will, it's your way. It's your way, not mine. Do whatever you want to in my life. We give it to you. And if you want to step out from your chair, just know it is great for you to do that. If you want to come around the altar, join me. I want to put myself in that place that I want to do his will, not mine. Amen. Amen. Let's do it.